If I was betting money, I would bet money that that relationship will not succeed ultimately. And if it does, both people will not be as happy as they could be because the respect isn't there.
A lot of it is because we weren't really taught about attachment styles. We weren't taught about trust and communication. We weren't taught about communication styles. We weren't taught about self-worth and how to build it and love languages. So,
welcome to Next Level University. I am your host, Kevin Palmieri.
And I am your host, Alan Lazarus.
At Next Level University, we believe in a heart-driven, but no BS approach to holistic self-improvement for entrepreneurs.
We bring you 7 episodes a week, 6 of which are solo episodes with Kevin and myself, and one world-class guest to help you level up your life, your love, your health, and your wealth.
Self-improvement in your pocket, every day, from anywhere, for free. Welcome to Next Level University. Next Level Nation, welcome back to another very special, as always, NLU Weekly Live Podcast for week number 122. Number one, we're on a Wednesday instead of a Monday, so it is a Wednesday edition, but we are talking about why many relationships fail. So, Alan and I have had this conversation many times. I don't know where this comes from, but I am pretty good at seeing a relationship and then calculating in my head whether or not that relationship will succeed or fail. I don't know where that comes from. I don't know if it's just intuition. I don't know if I'm doing pattern recognition, but I figured today would be a good opportunity for Alan and I to go through and throw some points out there of what we've seen from relationships and why they failed. And Alan, I know you and Emilia have done a bunch of coaching. You've studied relationships, so let's do it. Anything you want to add before we start?
I remember, Kev, you and I, at the very beginning of the Hyperconscious podcast, this episode never saw the light of day.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure
I was high.
It was on my YouTube.
Yeah, you were high for that episode. Yes.
So Kev came over and we did an episode on intimate relationships and you were had smoked some of the devil's lettuce.
Yes.
Just joking. But you were high and we went down into my basement. This was very early on. And we recorded on my pool table for some reason. We like set up on the pool table. And I think this was on my YouTube for a short time. But I actually do think there was a couple things, as much of a train wreck as that episode was, there was actually a couple really valuable things. Kevin sat me down and he said, okay, first opening question. What do you think is the most important thing in an intimate relationship? And we immediately disagreed. So yes. I said trust. I believe that trust is the most important factor to a successful intimate relationship. Kevin said, wrong, right? Just joking. But he said, I think it's communication.
Yep.
And I think that without trust as a foundation, you can't really have good communication. And without good communication, you can't really build trust. Because if you're constantly, think about someone who you're not on the same page, you struggle to communicate what you feel or what you think, it's going to be very difficult to trust each other when you're constantly in this turmoil of miscommunication. So today what we're going to talk about is why relationships fail, why most relationships fail. And a little bit of backstory here is when I was growing up, I don't know if this is true for you or not, Kev, I think it probably was. I looked around at many marriages and I was scared. Growing up, I looked around at a lot of relationships and they seemed really unfulfilling to me. Genuinely, as a kid, I remember being scared of marriage. I do.
Same.
And it's not till now I'm 33 years old and I'm in what I believe to be the most magnificent relationship I've ever had. But it took me 30 years to figure this thing out. It took me 30 years to figure this thing out. And you know, there's a lot of reasons why relationships fail. And the very last thing I'll say here before we jump into this episode is we didn't take courses in school about learning how communication and how to build trust and self-worth and intimate relationships. And I mean, we had sex ed, but not really.
Yeah.
Not as much as I think we should have. And so that's what Kevin and I want to talk about today is why is it that there are so many unfulfilled relationships out there? And all of us have made so many mistakes in relationships. And a lot of it is because we weren't really taught about attachment styles. We weren't taught about trust and communication. We weren't taught about communication styles. We weren't taught about self-worth and how to build it and love languages. So I'm pumped, man. This is going to be good.
I'm excited as well. One of the reasons I wanted to do this is because, if you don't know, Taryn and I got married last week. But when you're
cheers,
in
brother.
That... The cheers. I don't have anything in my glass, but cheers.
Cheers.
When you're in that frame of mind, in that mindset, when you have that intention, when that's kind of the vibe of the trip, you're really paying attention to other relationships. And one of my favorite things, and I am convinced at some point Taryn will have a podcast where it's like Taryn Asks Questions. That's going to be the name of it, because she loves asking people questions. And when we would say, yeah, we're here to get married, people would be like, oh my God, congrats. That's awesome. I've been married for blank. And her question is always, what advice would you have for us? And she always asks this question. So one of the things that really jumped off the page to me, and this is when I think in my mind, it was like, we have to do this. Taryn and I went out in the middle of the woods with our photographer and our videographer. And we were literally like hiking through the mountains and through streams that were like a runoff from an iceberg. They were unreasonably cold. But we're walking through the woods and there's a lot of other people doing it. It's a pretty popular path. And there's this one point where you have to walk across this log if you want to stay dry. And if you fall, like you're going up to like waist deep water. And there was a couple in front of us. And they were taking pictures and they had really nice cameras. And one of the partners started crossing and got a little wobbly. And she was okay and she kept going. And she ended up at one point, she fell off the log completely back into the water, holding the camera up. And my initial reaction was to look at her partner to see how her partner reacted. And her partner, he was just shaking his head. Kind of like, I can't believe you just did that. Not, really? Are you okay? Not, what can I do to help you? It was very much like disappointment.
Jesus.
Very much disappointment. And here I am throughout this entire thing, like, hey, babe, do you need a hand? Hey, go in front of me. You know, do you want me to stand in the water so you don't have to get wet? And that really jumped off the page as this is one of the reasons relationships don't succeed, a lack of respect. Mm-hmm. There isn't respect for your partner. Either you think you're entitled to the love, you're entitled to the relationship. That person didn't have enough respect to say, hey, are you okay? Not, well, yeah, maybe you could have wrecked the camera, or you could have wrecked your backpack or your shoes. That wasn't the intention. That wasn't the thought. The thought was, wow, I can't believe you just fell in the water. Right? And it was kind of laughing at that other person. So that's the first point that I wanted to bring is, I think a lot of us, in our friendships aren't built on respect. Alan, I'm sure when you were in college, a lot of your friendships were probably built on like busting jokes on one another and poking fun at one another. That's how a lot of mine were when I was younger. And I think that a lot of people don't mature out of that into your relationship has to be based on, I respect you as a human being. I respect your feelings. I respect your experience. And I respect you so much that I will make you feel loved. I will make you feel supported. I will make you feel included. And that's something that I saw jump off the page in that scenario, in that situation, where if I was betting money, I would bet money that that relationship will not succeed ultimately. And if it does, both people will not be as happy as they could be because the respect isn't there.
I remember I had a mentor once, and I'll keep this anonymous, but I remember the day that I stopped wanting him to be a mentor. And it was when I noticed that he takes better care of his car than his wife. Mm. And what I think is interesting, man, a car doesn't really matter that much. It never has and it never really will. Like, who cares? Takes better care of his house than his own relationship. Takes better care of his car than his own body. Parks his car in the shade, makes sure he parks it away from the other cars, washes and waxes it every weekend, but can't go to the gym at all. Doesn't take care of, doesn't respect his body, doesn't respect his wife, doesn't respect his family. yeah, this first point, lack of respect, without question why most relationships fail, yeah. For sure.
And I saw you did a post of this. I think, I don't know if you were doing a relationship talk on it, but I saw you did a post of respect the other day.
Oh, yeah.
The Conscious Couples podcast.
Yeah. So Emilia and I on the Conscious Couples podcast, I forget what episode it was. It wasn't about respect. It was about, I think, building trust, which goes full circle here. Yeah. But I essentially expressed to Emilia on that episode how much she's like the most respectful person I've ever met. Mm. Like, she'll pick up trash. She'll, and I live with her, right? So I'm with her all the time. And I get to see how she treats others, and I get to see how she respects animals and respects nature and doesn't ever want to hit toads on the road or bunnies, or we have a lot of bunnies in our neighborhood. So you have to like really watch out if you don't want to kill a bunny, which I never, ever do. So far, so good. although I'm not going to lie, there've been a few times where it was like, you know, I don't want to put us in danger either. But anyways, she's just the most respectful person I've ever met. And I told her that on this episode. So I think that's the clip you're referring to. Mm. And I don't know if I've ever fully been able to define respect. I guess I want to ask you, Kev. So, but I do know, we all know what it's like to feel respected. And we all know what it feels like to feel disrespected. And I think that we can tell the difference in terms of the way it feels, but we don't know how to articulate it. At least I don't. Same. So what do you think is your definition? Like, what does respect mean?
I don't know. I think it's having somebody else's thoughts, feelings, emotions, and experience in mind when you make your decisions. I think that's kind of, yeah, it's showing aligned caring, I think, is probably the best way to put it. I think that's probably the best way. And you and I have talked about this behind the scenes. I'll go on podcasts and something will happen where I feel disrespected and I immediately like my mm-hmm. ego flares. It's like, I don't want to be around this person. I don't want to surround myself with this person. Now, obviously we're talking more about intimate relationships than this, but if you think about it from the aspect of, am I getting what I need here? You don't need to be disrespected in your intimate relationship. Like that's the last place in the world you need to be disrespected. The last place in the world you should be disrespected, the last place in the world where you shouldn't feel safe to express yourself. So I think that's one of the biggest reasons why this one, a lack of respect breaks rapport, it breaks trust, to your point. If you don't have the ability to be an effective communicator, it's very hard to communicate through lack of respect, especially if you're triggered. That's a whole nother challenge. And maybe we'll touch on that here, but I don't know. What's your definition? For me, that's what jumps off the page is like aligned appreciation.
Yeah. Lack of respect is similar to what you're saying. I think the opposite of appreciation is entitlement. Mm. And I think that guy who was unkind in that moment to his partner when she fell, he wasn't worried about her. He was like making fun of her.
No.
I think that he doesn't value her. And I think that disrespect is not valuing something. And I'll be here's what I'll say. My car, I drive a 2008 Subaru. I could give an F about this car, genuinely. Other than it getting me to where I want to go safely, I put, you know, like this glass, I would put on the hood of it. And recently, Emilia drives a much nicer car than mine. It's not super nice, but a Prius. And I ask her, like, do you mind if I put my water bottle on your hood or not your hood, but on your car? Because some people get really upset. It makes sense, right? You don't want to scratch a nice car. Whereas I don't care. I don't respect my vehicle that much. I do in terms of like, I'm not afraid to scratch it. I don't care, right? So I kind of disrespect my own car because I don't value it that much. But I never want to disrespect Emilia because I value her so much. And so, and that doesn't mean I'm not, that doesn't mean I'm perfect or anything like that. But it comes down to, I think respect is the thoughtful alignment with what you value. And I think that when people disrespect you, they probably don't value you. And most likely those podcasters that you're referring to that you didn't want to be around, that you felt disrespected, you probably felt undervalued.
For sure.
And I'll tell this story really quick and then we'll move on from this point. But Kevin and I have done a lot of speeches at high schools, and high school students are difficult to keep their attention.
They don't care.
Yeah,
about
they
what
don't
we're
care.
Saying.
Let's just say they care about what Kevin and I are saying about as much as I care about my car, right? so they don't. But Kevin gets really triggered by that at times, if you don't mind me sharing that. sorry if I'm disrespecting you. But like, and I told Kev, I said, I'm very used to being undervalued.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's my own stuff that I got to work through. But when you tolerate disrespect, I think you set a low bar for the people in your life, and they get to treat you however they want. And so the analogy here is like, you should not treat a multi-million dollar mansion the same as you treat an outhouse. You shouldn't. You know, there's a reason an outhouse is $50 or, I don't know, $5,000 or whatever, and a multi-million dollar mansion is multi-million dollars, because it takes a lot more effort and time to build it. And I hope everyone really lands on that. Like, and I'll bring this back to individuals, right? If you don't respect your intimate partner at a level 10, then you've got to dig into why that might be. Is it because you don't respect what they embody? Is it because maybe they've disrespected you? Is it because you're just a disrespectful person who needs a gut check and some humility? You know, and I think we've all been all of those people at times. I think it's really, really important. And so for me, you know, I don't ever like it when I see people that value material things more than their own family or more than their own intimate partner. Because in my opinion, I can go buy a new car anytime I want. I can't ever find another Emilia, ever. And I think that it needs to be clear in the way I treat her. And so I'm not perfect, but I do think that one of the reasons relationships fail is because you can only be disrespected for so long.
Yeah. So that makes me want to jump to, we have a couple, well, 3 points really that we're going to touch on, but that makes me want to jump to the last one, because it kind of connects to that. When I say this, I really want you to think about your own perspective. And I don't mean this with any ego, and there's no ego when I say this, but I've said this to Tyron many times. I genuinely want your friends to be jealous of you, not in any negative ego trip way, but I want them to say, wow, I can't believe Kevin is so good to her. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm playing for. I'm not because I need the admiration or it makes me feel any type of way. It's more because that helps me set a standard that is forcing me to continue to get better and better and better and better. And I don't know that a lot of people do that. I think a lot of people, it's very much like, it's just, how do I keep this relationship? How do I stay? How do I keep this person in my life? So to Alan's point, I think another big issue is there's no pride in the way you treat your partner. There's no pride in the way that you show up. You're not proud of the way you treat them. You're not committed to trying to treat them better every single day. And I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't look in the difficult mirrors. Because if you're okay, if you're always okay with the way you treat somebody or something, it doesn't force you to say, okay, well, what could I have done better in that moment? Or is there some place I should be taking responsibility that I'm not? Or how did what I just say affect my partner? So that's something that we basically just touched on. But I think a lot of people, they don't really think about their relationship as something that is a growth point, and they don't take pride in the relationship enough to do the difficult but necessary steps to make sure it's growing, because they don't see it as a growth opportunity.
Hi there. This is Dr. Tyron McCarthy, and I am the host of the Business of Happiness podcast, which would not be in existence were it not for the one and only incredible Kevin Palmieri. Seriously, I am so indebted to Kevin for the service that he provides. Every week he meets with me, he has been coaching me on how to initiate and launch this podcast. He helped me put it together with his great expertise, and every week his whole team works tirelessly to get these podcasts uploaded to Buzzsprout and to deliver my content to my audience. I am so grateful. I couldn't say enough about him. In fact, we've been working together so well. I've seen so much wonderful input from my listeners and asking me for more, that in just a few weeks, we're going to be doubling the number of podcasts we produce per week. So this trajectory is just flying, and I'm really enjoying the whole process. So I couldn't say enough about him. Please, if this is something you're considering, I highly recommend him, and reach out to me anytime if you have any questions about our experience. Good luck. Bye-bye.
Well, when you put this on there, there's no pride in the way you treat your partner. I would add a term, a term which would be, instead of pride, I would put aspiration. In other words, do you aspire to be the best partner you can be? And I don't mean just saying it. I mean really, like, and I'll give a tangible example of my own relationship as well. And we talked about this on the Conscious Couples podcast recently. I remember Emilia, when we were first talking about moving in together, she had never really lived with a guy. She lived with girls in college, and she had lived with at home with her family, but she had never lived with a man before. And I had had a relationship in my mid-20s where I lived with my girlfriend, and it was really wonderful. And so I told her, I said, it's going to be the best thing ever. Like, don't even worry. It's going to be awesome. And I essentially said to her, I said, I know that you're scared, and I totally understand. And one of the reasons she was scared is because she would go to these college parties when she was in college. She went to Providence College, and she would see how messy guys are, right? And understandable. A lot of guys in college are very messy, and I'm sure I was one of those. I definitely was. My apartment in college was probably messy. Definitely messy. But I essentially said to her, I said, sweetheart, I understand you're scared. I've lived with a partner before. It was actually wonderful. And our relationship is so much better than that relationship was. And even that was wonderful. So this will be even better. And I don't think you've ever lived with someone who can support your goals like I can. So I aspire to be the best roommate you've ever had. And I told her that. And we were talking the other night on the couch. This was probably like 3 or 4 nights ago. And we were reminiscing on what it was like to come to this home and to have it completely empty. And now we have all this amazing stuff. And we have a couch now, and we have plants, and it's actually pretty magnificent here, thanks to her more than me, definitely. But we were talking about when we first moved in, and I said, babe, you remember how scared you were, like, to live with a guy, you know? And I'm sure a lot of women out there can relate, and men too. But I said, remember when I told you I wanted to be the best roommate you've ever had? I'm going to be the best roommate you've ever had. And I'm not just saying that from an ego place. I actually intended on treating her with so much respect and so much boundaries and so much honoring of her values. I want to honor her sleep. I want to honor when she has solitude time. I want to make sure that I'm doing the dishes and that I'm cleaning up after myself and that the bathrooms are clean for the most part and all this different stuff, right? She jokes, we have a bathroom right next to my office, and it's the only room in the house that's not like pristine. Not all the time, but most of the time. And she's like, yeah, it's kind of like a frat bathroom. It's not a frat bathroom, but Kev, so I didn't realize this, but she's like, yeah, there keeps getting like splatter on the mirror, right? We're in the gym one time, right? And when we're in the gym, it's an Anytime Fitness. So we're in there alone at night sometimes. And we actually would enter the same bathroom together because we don't care, whatever. And I'm in the bathroom and I'm doing my hair. Mm. So I'm just wetting my hair, right? And then I look up and the mirror is splattered with like my hair water. And I'm like, yeah, so that's what that is. Yeah, that's what that is. Why is the mirror always splattered with hair gel, right? Yeah. But anyways, my point of this is I aspire to be the best roommate Emilia has ever had. And she told me I am, but that is earned every day. If I suddenly just start not caring and being disrespectful and not doing my, you know, stuff and just, you know, of course I'm not going to be the best roommate she's ever had. And so the aspiration piece, the goal, this is very not said enough in my opinion. You have to have a goal. There has to be, to Kevin's point, there's no pride in the way you treat your partner. There has to be. There has to be pride. There has to be a goal, not negative pride, but like Kevin and I with this podcast, we don't just want to, let's just podcast. We want to have a magnificent podcast that adds more value to your life than any other podcasts. See the difference? It's aspiration. It's a goal. So we don't just say we want to be the best partner. We actually mean it, and we live and breathe it every single day. And the rent is due every day on that one. You know, you really have to set a new standard, and you have to want to set a new standard. And that has to be based on the aspiration that you've decided in advance. And I know you decided to be the best partner you could possibly be in advance. And I did the same thing.
Yeah.
And we have to stay aligned with that every single day. And we're not perfect, but we're getting better and better and better. And I know that our partners would come on these mics and say the same.
We talked about this in, I don't know if it was an episode. I think it was an episode where we talked about, it's kind of taboo to do, and not in our community because we're trying to make it as normal as humanly possible, but it's kind of taboo to do progress reports when it comes to any relationship. Where I want Alan, I just went away for a week, and this was actually quite, it felt good, honestly, but I just went away for 10 days, and Alan is like, yeah, man, I'm so glad you're back. I didn't realize how much you actually do. And he was saying that in a teasing way, but that's kind of a like, hey, you actually do a lot around here, and I appreciate you. I want Alan to be consistently saying, why is Kevin here? I do. I think it's important. I want Taryn and I to be having those thoughts of like, is this the best relationship I could be in?
Yeah.
I think that's important. I think that's an important thing. And if you're not having that, if your partner is not questioning that, it doesn't force you to get better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's an important thing too, is like, there has to be a little bit of pressure. There has to be a little bit of pressure of like, hey, if I don't get more committed and change the way I show up, this relationship might end up disappearing.
It won't grow.
Right.
There's no way. And Kev, the pressure you just talked about, that's necessity.
Yeah.
Emilia and I talk about how we choose each other every day. It's not a given.
Yeah.
The moment that I am like, oh, Emilia's mine and it's great and this is a relationship. This isn't ownership. I have to earn her respect and her trust and her love every single day, and vice versa. 100%, just like us as business partners, right? If all of a sudden I was going off the rails, not doing my work, Kevin would eventually be like, yo, what's the deal here? And it's supposed to be that way. It helps me be better. It helps me stay accountable, and vice versa. You know, it's why do most relationships fail? Lack of accountability. Lack of ownership, lack of aspiration, lack of pride of I'm going to be the best roommate you've ever had. And I will do everything I can within alignment to do that. You know, and there's something really beautiful about that. It's keeping the promises you've made, and it's bettering your best. You know, I do my best every day, and sometimes my best isn't good enough, but I always go back to the drawing board and I try to better my best. And some of the things that I'm most ashamed of in my past relationships, I have gotten so much better. I've gotten so much better. And I'm not perfect, but I've gotten so much better. And I think that that's really all that matters, is are you taking ownership for your own, the way you show up in your relationship? And are you trying to get better consistently? And do you aspire to be better? And not just say it, but like actually mean it. And Kev, I have a new quote that you've not heard before because you've been gone. Yeah, it's interesting. So this is my new quote. The difference between your words and your actions is the size of your ego.
I like that.
So the bigger the difference between what you say and do, the bigger your ego. And I came up with that because of the marathon. Let's just say any ego I had about it is gone because it was horrible. I did it, but it was horrible. Came up with a good quote.
The picture, yeah, if that's all I got. I ran a marathon, all I got was this simple quote. That should be a t-shirt you wear.
Hashtag worth it.
Hashtag worth it. So as you know, Alan, you know, I don't know if the listeners know, and again, if you're listening to this repurpose, the time will be off a little bit, but Taryn and I came home last night from Colorado, and we woke up in the morning, and Alan, you've probably seen this from me because you and I have done a fair bit of traveling together. And just for context, I used to be on the road every single week at my old job. Like every single week, I'd be 5 or 6 hours away from home, staying in a hotel. And when I woke up on Friday, the last day that we were going to be there, we were headed to the job site, I was like super anxious of packing and just getting out of the hotel room and getting the day done. For some reason, like when Friday hits, when the last day of a trip hits, my energy is different.
But, oh, yeah.
Right? Taryn and I woke up yesterday morning, and we were packing the Airbnb, and I was just like off. And she said, like, did I do something wrong? I don't, you're like very short with me and you seem very impatient. And I said, no, I just like, I feel weird. I don't know why. I don't really know what's going on. I just like feel off. My state is all over the place. And she ended up going and getting a massage, and I had time to like sit with myself and think. And I kept thinking about it, and I kept thinking about it. And when she got back in the car, I said, you know what it is? I think in my mind, I am only thinking of us getting on the flight. I don't care about any other part of the day. Like, I just want this day to be over with because I'm so anxious about flying. That's why I like early morning flights, because I just wake up and go. I don't have to think about it. Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, I didn't realize it was that big of a deal. And I said, I didn't really either. I was reflecting on it when you were getting a massage, and I've been driving around thinking about, okay, why was I off today? Like, why was I less patient? Why was I less kind? And I think it's because of that thing. I think in my mind, I'm so stressed out over flying later that I don't have a lot to pour from today. Yeah. But, and Alan, you spoke to this, I did my best to take responsibility. I kept thinking and said, okay, is this me? What's going on here? Like, Taryn didn't do anything. She wanted to pack our bags a certain way. And she said, hey, I have an idea and this is the logistics I think will work. And for some reason, I just shot them down. The ability to take responsibility and say, look, this is a me thing. I don't know if there's anything possible that you could do to make me feel better. I think this is just me in my feels, in my mind. And we ended up having a wonderful conversation driving down the street. And she said, well, next time we travel, we'll try to book an early flight home and an early flight out. That way you won't have to worry. And I said, oh, that's a great opportunity to grow. And she said, that's a wonderful 1% improvement. But that never would have happened if I just stayed on that same path and just said, well, it's you. You know, it's your fault that I'm feeling this way, or you're this, you're that. I think that ability to take responsibility, extreme ownership, I think that's another reason because, and it goes to the other two parts we really talked about. If you don't respect your partner, it's much easier to lie to them. You don't have to say like, what's a good example of this? I could very easily say I broke something. Or I could also very easily say, well, no, that wasn't me. Or you forgot to put this out. It wasn't me. If I don't take responsibility, then my partner might feel bad about themselves thinking they did something wrong when I did something wrong. And that's also me not taking pride in my relationship because I'm not being honest and forthcoming with the truth. So for you, Alan, have you always been capable or have you always felt confident in taking responsibility? Or is that something that, like, when did that cross over? Because for me, I think it really helped with Taryn because I trust Taryn and we're like that together, but it hasn't always been like that for me at all.
Yeah. I would say the vulnerability thing. Mm. When I started to understand that it requires vulnerability to take responsibility. Yep. So I'll give you an example. So on Tuesday night, yeah, last night, today's Wednesday. Yeah. So last night we had group coaching, session 3 for group 7, and the Zoom registration link got all messed up. And, Greg took a lot of ownership for it. Greg is the, assistant coach and the champion, the director of that department. Shout out to Greg. But last night, Greg essentially, you know, screwed up by doing the mobile instead of his laptop, and he was at his other job. Totally understandable, and I'm not throwing him on the bus in any regard. But I had a moment where I was frustrated, and I was like, mm-mm. So Christina came in, sort of saved the day. Greg ended up getting there late. I've been there 1,000 times. I've been late 1,000 times, right? And so I literally said to the whole group, I said, listen, this is my fault. This is not Christina's fault. This is not Kevin's fault. He's not even here. This is not Greg's fault. This is my fault because it was my idea to do these new Zoom registration links like we do the monthly meetups and like we do book club. And I did not communicate at all to anyone how these things work. Mm-hmm. At all. And in that moment, I was frustrated and I transformed the frustration into like vulnerability of like, okay. And it's interesting. I'm getting emotional right now. I'm the person who screwed this up. 100%. I'm the one who got here 5 minutes before the thing started. I'm the one who decided to change the way we do group coaching Zoom links. And now, you know, I just need to own that. And so in the past, I don't know if it would have been like that. I don't want to pretend that I would have been so noble. And I know there are times in my life, I have a lot of shame around certain things where I blatantly lied. There's this one memory I have where I was playing games. I was playing Halo. And for some reason, I blatantly lied to all my college roommates about it. I lied about the score or something. And I got caught in the lie. And I was so ashamed of that. I was like, they probably still to this day think I'm liars. I'm like a liar. And it's this little thing, but we all have these memories where we were outside of alignment with our core values. And I think that's why we ruminate is and have regret is because it's like, don't, that's not who you are. It's not who you aspire to be. And so to bring this back to your original question, I think vulnerability is the solution to taking responsibility. Because when you take responsibility for mistakes, it's a vulnerable place because people are like, well, see, like, yeah, I knew this would happen. And a lot of times they don't do that if you actually do take ownership, which is cool, especially if they're great people, because they don't want to kick you while you're down. But if you're pretending and blaming and shaming and guilting everybody else because you're frustrated, I just don't think that's good leadership. So I would say two things. One, when I learned about vulnerability, which is really mostly within the last probably 5-6 years, Brené Brown's work for sure. And then you're the one who introduced me to that, honestly. And then the second one is just realizing that when you can't be vulnerable, it's not great leadership. And I aspire to be a great leader in my intimate relationship, in NLU, and everything I do. And there's no way to do that without taking responsibility. I think that taking responsibility for your own actions and inactions is leadership. Yeah. You know, and so that's my answer. Yeah.
I think somebody always knows the truth too. I think that's helped me, is like somebody knows the truth. You know, it's like, we have however many team meetings every week where Alan does more than I do, but I'm on a lot of meetings with Alan, and we'll get to the point in the meeting where it's like, hey, Kev, did you do blank? You had your deliverable that you were supposed to do this week. More often than not, I do them, but what am I going to say? Like, no, you know, a bunch of things came up and I couldn't do it. I know Alan's busy too. So it's very much like, I know Alan knows the truth. No, I didn't do it because I didn't prioritize it as much as I should have. And I'll just say that, like, nope, I didn't do it. I Jeffed it. That's on me, because I know somebody knows the truth. So for me, it's almost like if I lie about it, I know somebody knows I'm lying. I just do. I know somebody knows the truth. So why not just be vulnerable and take the ownership of it and get it over with? I think our biggest fear is facing that pain of, oh, I have to take ownership for a mess up. When realistically, if you take ownership of it, you get way less pain. I had a client who, him and I were scheduled for a call, and I think he was running like 5 minutes behind. And my rule is, if you're like 5 to 10 minutes late, I just send you an email and say, hey, let's reschedule, because I assume you're not coming at that point. And I sent him a message, and I don't remember exactly how the communication went, but I said, I think it was on my end. And I said, dude, I am so sorry I Jeffed you. I didn't tell you that I moved our call. That's on me 100%. And he said, honestly, Kev, I actually had to cancel anyway. I forgot. But he said, I appreciate your ownership. That's one of the reasons I love working with you so much, and I'm drawn to working with you. And I was like, well, my biggest fear was he was going to look down on me because I messed up the call, which ended up turning into him saying, hey, I'm very grateful for the way you are because you took ownership. So yeah, that big fear that I had ended up becoming somewhat of a positive experience, but it never would have if I just deflected and said, hey, man, you got to check your calendar. Hey, man, you should have saw the email come through. To your point, that's not a way to lead. And whether you know it or not, you are leading in a relationship. No matter which partner you are, no, it doesn't matter. You're leading in some way, shape, or form.
Well, you just talked about it. That built trust with that person.
Yeah.
And that's when you take ownership and you take responsibility for your actions and your inactions in a relationship, you're building trust.
Yeah.
So I told Emilia I would never lie to her. And I remember there was this one night, that was a promise I made, no matter what, I'll never lie to you. And there was this one night where she turned and she asked me, like, are you okay? You know, because she could tell my energy was off. And I said, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just tired. Which I knew was a lie. I was like, no, I'm not tired. I'm fearful about X, Y, Z, private stuff, right? And I eventually was like, I just lied to her. No way. I'm not just, and it's a small one, yeah, right? It's a small one. Yeah, I'm just tired. No, I know I'm not tired. I'm scared of this. I'm scared of this. I'm vulnerable. I'm scared of this. So I just told her. I said, honestly, sweetheart, I'm sorry. That wasn't true. I told you I'd never lie to you. And I just didn't tell you the whole truth. And I'm scared, right? And then we talked about it. And it ended up being an awesome conversation. And I'm telling you, you want to talk about building trust in your relationship? Emilia knows she can trust me.
Yeah.
Because I own it when I screw up. I remember one time someone reached out. They're like, oh, you say you never lie to Emilia, but you did lie, and then you came clean. It's like, okay, sir. Right? You know what I'm saying. You get what I'm saying. The point is, I never stayed in that. You know? And I think that when you make a mistake, the reason you're avoiding it is because you're afraid of judgment. You're afraid to lose credibility. When in reality, you're going to gain credibility when you actually own it, because so few people do that.
Yeah.
You know, usually fear takes over and you don't want to own it. And I think people who take ownership for what they do, say, think, feel, believe, and more importantly, what they don't end up doing, I think you build credibility over time. People start to know. I mean, Kev, you have access to all of my money. You know what I mean? Like, and vice versa.
Tens and tens of dollars.
Hey, tens of thousands. You know what I mean? Pretty good as of, what, 2 days ago?
Yeah.
But think about that for a second. Like, everyone listening to this, like, Kevin and I both could, like, steal all of each other's money,
yeah,
and, like, move to another foreign country and change our names to Jeff. But we don't, because we trust each other. And that trust is built over time. So I think trust is earned. I think respect is earned. I think it's earned through taking responsibility for what you do and don't do. And when you do screw up, which you will, 100%. You just try to be better. Take ownership, try to be better. Turn your mistakes into lessons, and then the lessons into, like, better future successes. And when it comes to the plane thing, by the way, quick, because I know we got to jump to the Q&A part. Dude, that sucks. The fact that you're in anxiety, like, all day.
It sucks.
It ruins the whole day.
This is, it's like, we got on the flight, and I'll tell this before we bring Brandon in. We got on the flight, and the captain was like, hey, Colorado weather, you know, Denver, just a heads up, there's going to be some pretty decent turbulence upon takeoff. And Tara and I look at each other, and she's like, babe, it's going to be fine. And I was like, no, I can't do this right now. On takeoff, on the very beginning, takeoff's the worst part. It's the part I like the least. I love landing because we're getting close to the ground. Flying, like, when we're cruising, that's pretty good. But takeoff, it doesn't work for me. Look back and see how fast the ground is moving away from you. It doesn't make sense. I feel like I'm in a rocket ship.
Were you in the window seat?
Of course. And I opened the slider. I try my best to open it to look, you know,
yeah.
to face my fears. But
you made it, man. You made it.
I'm here.
You're here. You made it.
And we talked a lot about relationships today, intimate relationships mostly. Number one, go listen to the Conscious Couples podcast. Alan and Emilia have a wonderful podcast all about this. And number two, they also do relationship talks coaching, where they help couples have certain breakthroughs, or they help couples ask themselves the difficult questions and answer the difficult questions while being in a safe place to do it. So if you are in a relationship and you want it to get better, reach out to Alan and or Emilia, and I'm sure they can help you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Welcome.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate
it. Of course.
So at the Conscious Couples.
Talk about me now.
Yeah, I'm going to. No, I know. But I actually was going to. So the Conscious Couples podcast is actually produced by, it's interesting. I get to be a client at my own company. Very, very cool experience. And when we first started the Conscious Couples podcast, I think we're 27 episodes in, I was telling Kev, I'm like, it is unbelievable. I mean, you upload the audio, you upload the video, and it's all done. It's all done for you. YouTube, show notes, audio, Buzzsprout, you name it, it's all done for you. I'm a client at my own company for a reason, right? It's that good. So if you're thinking about starting a podcast, talk to Kev. Kev and the team at Next Level Podcast Solutions are nothing short of magnificent. And we have 18 recurring clients, and that's why. Because it's just so good.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Next Level University. We love connecting with the Next Level family, so make sure you follow us on Instagram. I am at NeverQuitKid and Alan is at ALazarus88.
Also, if you found value in this episode, leave us a review using the link in the show notes, and please share this with someone who's ready to get to the next level.
We will talk to you tomorrow.